You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, November 12th, episode 3817. Oh my God. What? That's so many episodes. I'm exhausted. Good morning, horse people.
Hello, horse world. It's Wednesday, the day you start daydreaming of a weekend with your horses. We'll help you get there with more silly horse talk on Horses in the Morning.
Well, we do thank you for joining us today. We have a fun show planned for you today. Lily Bison's going to join us, and we've been Facebook friends forever, and she's going to talk about her work post-cancer and the mission of the organization that she created called Gallop for Life. They do some amazing things for cancer people around the horse world.
And we're equestrian women.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Terry Malott's going to stop by. This is the time of year when we try and give you ideas for stocking stuffers or for gifts for horse people, and she has one that I think you're going to like, a great stocking stuffer. And then did we have weird news?
Yeah, we still have those.
Okay.
It's weird.
And all I know about the Auditor Post show is it's going to be an update on vet visits and the question, how did he know that? That's what we're going to talk about in the post show.
That's what we're going
to
do.
Did you see the Northern Lights? It seems like everybody did, even to the middle of Florida. I didn't see them, but there were tons of posts this morning.
Yeah, so I'm in the place where I was looking on Facebook and watching the local news, and she came on and said that the weather person was like, yeah, you can see them out, but you can only see them through a camera lens. And I was like, okay. That's super weird. I didn't get it. So I walked outside and they said, point your camera north and take a picture. And so I went outside, pointed my camera north, took a picture, and the sky was red.
Isn't it amazing?
It was amazing. I went to like the kind of northwest, it was like green and red. It was so cool. So apparently tonight is going to be even better.
And they were seeing it all the way down to Tampa and Orlando in Florida. That's how south it went.
Oh, that's crazy.
And apparently if you put your camera on night mode, it's even more vibrant.
Ooh, yep. I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
Put your camera on night mode, which most phones have now. And it's even better. I didn't go out. I didn't know about the camera thing last night. I went out and looked and there was nothing. I was like, now tonight I'll be back out there.
Well, Glenn, I mean, it's not like I was just reading this and I'm reading it right now, but clearly these are coronal mass ejections that two have reached the earth and one is still on the way and could arrive sometime today. Yeah,
they're solar, right? It's from the sun.
Outbursts. Yeah. Coronal mass ejections. I think you'd be impressed that I use that word.
That just sounds disgusting, to be honest.
That sounds dirty. It's a coronal mass ejection.
Sounds very dirty.
But yeah, check it out tonight, you guys. Like I said, walk outside, face north, and take a picture. And I was shocked. And I didn't know this has happened recently, but I didn't get it. I didn't understand what to do, but it was cool. I was like, everybody come outside.
All right. Tonight, we're all going to do it. And I know a bunch of the auditors posted some amazing pictures because a lot of them live further north.
I didn't post any of mine because mine were nowhere near as amazing as everybody else's on Facebook.
Some of those were really cool. Hey, I wanted to also do a belated Veterans Day salute to all the veterans out there. And I have a story for you that Linda sent to me, one of our auditors yesterday. Did you know that during both World War I and World War II, the Dachshund served as a...
Dachshund?
The Dachshund, yeah.
Like wiener dogs?
Wiener dogs. Worked as military working dogs. You know, we know the German Shepherds did and the big Malamutes and all that stuff did. But Dachshunds were used for mine detection. Because they were so low and their noses are so good, they would send them out to detect mines, and they were used for trying to find booby traps and things like that, because with their nose they could find them before the soldiers did. And they used tons of them, apparently, during the wars. The U.S. Army's official canine corps during World War II had approximately 20,000 dogs from various breeds. And Dachshunds were excluded from the official register, they didn't count the Austrians. And I'll tell you why. It's because during World War One, they were, that breed was affiliated with the Germans, and Americans hated the breed. They were prejudiced against that breed because they were known as German dogs.
And that's
why the military didn't even put them on the official registers, but kept using them. And they think they used thousands of them during both wars.
Back in the day where we needed a rebrand, you know, like they didn't have rebrand, but rebrand. Yes. We've taken the German dogs and they're working for us. The dachshunds are ours.
They're traitors. But apparently there were a lot of traitor dachshunds that were working for us during those wars. So
they needed a good PR campaign in World War One for the rebranding of the dog.
Linda, thank you for sending that. I had no idea. So, and thank you to all the human veterans that served in all the wars. We do appreciate your service. All right, let's do some daily whinnies. Happy birthday to a couple of our auditors, Gwen Roberts, who's been on the cruise with us before, and also Jennifer Bruce Mascaroni. And this is the second Mascaroni I've ever met in my life. We actually had one of our performers had that last name when I had the acting company. And there aren't too many of them in the world, I bet. So happy birthday to both of you.
Couple things. I did this really cool thing last night, which was hire a dog trainer to come to the house. And I hired a guy named Michael Harper, and he works for House of Hounds LLC. And he's a young guy that has done a lot of search and rescue with dogs. And I wanted to have a dog trainer come over and just show, you're going to be shocked. But like, I can train dogs really well, like to do certain things, but my son won't listen to me. It's like you should hire somebody to teach your children as opposed to you teaching your children.
How old is he, 12?
So, he's 12 and mom knows nothing.
No,
so,
he's at that age where you don't know anything anymore.
Yeah, so I hired Michael Harper to come over, and he came out in the driveway and worked with Lucas and his new border collie from the shelter that we adopted over the weekend. His name is Link. That's what Lucas named him. And it was just great. It was so funny. He had a clicker and a treat bag around his waist. And I was like, oh my gosh. Clicker training in my property. It's crazy. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just not what I do. So it was interesting to learn the way that you clicker train the dogs and when you click and Lucas, like, the dog did the thing and then he give him the treat and then click, click, click. And Michael was so patient. He was like, that's okay. Sometimes I forget the click too. Like, it was just so nice to have somebody here and
that he would actually listen to.
Yes, that he would actually listen to. And he really liked the dog and said it was we did a really good job. It was a really good addition to the family. And then, of course, I have to bring Homer and Winx out, and Lucas showed the dog trainer all of their tricks because they do a lot of ridiculous tricks.
That's like when you have a trainer out for a horse and then they have to see you make them see every horse on the property.
Okay, look at this one over here. Okay, it's so cute. Yeah, that's basically what we did. Also, I found out some news. I just got a message from a friend of mine, and anybody in the Atlanta area, I do apologize. So I used to be a member of a radio show called The Burt Show in Atlanta. I mean, it was forever ago. It was 15 years ago. Well, Burt has continued on with his show and just retired. And I guess
Was he the last one on the show left?
Yeah, he was the first and last. I mean, he's filtered through a whole lot of people. You just keep, basically what you do is you just replace your people with younger people. So he was on the helm, and then he had a large cast of characters. But apparently a girlfriend of mine, Kristen, who's in Atlanta right now, sent me a message. She was like, oh my God, it's so good to hear your voice on the radio again. I'm sorry, what? Apparently, since Burt retired, they haven't filled the spot for his morning show, and they're replaying like back catalog. And I mean, way back catalog.
From your dating days?
And they're playing me. She's like, it's the craziest thing. I keep hearing you on the radio. It's so fun. Like, cool. So my response back to her was like, that's amazing and frightening. And do I get paid for that? Because like, I feel like I should get paid for that.
Yeah, look for mailbox money on that one. Oh my God.
So I do apologize to all the Atlanta listeners who are having to hear my single.
You know what's ironic about that, everybody, is Jamie hates to listen back to her own voice on a show.
It's a
no-go.
Can
you imagine listening to those 15-year-old ones?
No. Because when I left the Burt Show 4 months, 3 months later, I met Chad. Actually, 2 months later, I met Chad. So I left the Burt Show, had another show on a country station, and then I met Chad after all of that. So, you know, everything happens for a reason. And look at me now. I'm over here making tens of dollars doing a podcast for 15 years. So it's like life is perfect.
You know what? It's so funny. Were you the girl? There's always for morning drive radio, especially in the big cities like Atlanta, there was always two guys and a girl. And the girl was always the one telling about her dating stories. And they always sent out to the street to do interviews and all that stuff. Were you that girl?
Glenn, I was born that girl. It did not start with this podcast. But I do recall that one of the things I got the most popular for was coming on, and it was not two, it was two guys, two girls, and then me. And I was the traffic reporter, and I popped back and forth between the rock station and this top 40 station. And so I would come in and I would give dating stories. And when you air your dirty laundry about bad dates on the show, you don't get more dates.
Only guys forget to call you.
But one of the most interesting ones, and that really took a turn, was I met this guy at a coffee shop and he was in line behind me and their credit card machine wouldn't work. And so he paid for my coffee. And like I was like, okay, well, I got to go to work, because I was working for the Atlanta Braves too. All I did was work. And so I was like, I've got to go to the Braves game, but if you're here next Sunday, I'll buy your coffee. And lo and behold, he's French. He pulls up and he's in line with me. And I'm like, oh my God, like I just met the man of my dreams. And again, I had to go to the Braves game. It was a Sunday day game, but I was like, he invited me to dinner that night. And I mean, he was so pretty and he was French and he bought my coffee. It was so romantic. And then he peels in at the last second. I'm like, oh my God, he's here. His name was Pierre, of course. This is probably, I shouldn't say that.
Get any more stereotypical in this story.
I shouldn't say that, because it took a turn, Glenn, because I went to dinner with him that night. We'll call him Pierre. Clearly his name could not have been that. So we pull into dinner and he meets me at the restaurant. We sit down and I was like, so tell me about yourself. Like, cause I'm funny. And I was like, how long you been married? And he's like, how did you know?
Oh my God.
I was like, I'm sorry, what? And this was like a week, 2 week long bit on the radio, was would the guy show up and what would happen if he showed up for coffee and all this, like it was on play on the radio. And I described his car that he pulled up in, and I described him, and he's French, and I said his name and all of this on the radio. And turns out he's married.
He's now back in France and single.
She comes over to take our order. The server does. And I'm like, hi, I would like this pasta to go. And so they sat there and I got my pasta and I left and I made him pay for it. So the problem was, this is Atlanta. And I had said his job, I had said his car, I had said his name.
Yeah, and you're live. You can't take it back. Can't cut it.
Nope, can't cut that. And then it was like the Monday morning I told the story, and Monday afternoon I get the voicemail. Hi, that's my husband. Could you please call me?
Oh my God. Did you call her?
I think it was an email. I did call her back, and I just left a voicemail, and I was like, this happened, and this is the name, and this is the car, and this is the job that he had, and good luck. And so I'm pretty sure.
Jamie, wrecking marriages all over Atlanta.
I didn't wreck it. He wrecked it. I'm sweating talking about this. My palms are sweaty talking about this. It was awful.
All right, we'll move on. Happy retirement, Bert.
Happy retirement, Bert. Y'all send me a check, for God's sake.
Hey, we're going to get to our first guest here in a second, but Monday when we ended up playing the headlines game, I was actually looking for a study show and I couldn't find enough good ones, but I did come across this scientific study. And you know how we've always said you need to get 10,000 steps in a day? That's the goal. That's what we should have. It's just been kind of an unwritten rule about you need that number of steps. Well, apparently this study says that isn't true. So it says that for general health benefit, if you want to just be, you know, generally healthier, you can do 2,000 to 4,000 steps in a day. So don't feel bad if you don't hit 10. The optimum range for adults under 60 is 8,000 to 10,000 per day, and that will reduce the risk of premature death or cardiovascular disease. So 8,000 to 10,000 if you're under 60. If you're over 60, aiming for 6,000 to 8,000 steps per day appears to be the place that will help you out physically and mentally and help you live longer. So they've come up with the magic number now is 7,000 steps a day.
For what age? The study brought to you by the people at McDonald's. Like what?
So they say if you get 7,000 steps a day, which is achievable by most people, for some reason, they're right. There are a lot of days you'll hit 6,000 or 7,000, but you don't get to 10. It just seems like 10 is too hard, right? Or you just don't have enough time to do 10. Now, horse people, I think, are a little different, and especially if your phone's counting steps every time you go up and down in the saddle. And I know you guys cheat that way.
I have 24,000 steps today. I will tell you, it is a little BS because I got one of those Oura rings, and it's a ring that is like a super health tracker. And so I had it on yesterday, and I was pulsing racehorses at the track. And I was on my feet all day. And I didn't even get 7,000 steps. And I'm like, this is BS.
It didn't count for how many hours you're actually standing.
Yes.
All right. We're going to head to our first guest. But first, I wanted to mention to you to head on over to Stateline Tack for a complete selection of winter products. Follow the banner at the top of the page to find blankets, outerwear, barn supplies, and winter boots. They have thousands of products to keep you and your ponies warm this winter. One example is the Oak Women's Winter Riding Tights. They're marked down from $70 to $49 in all the different sizes. And also the Roper Ladies Fuzzy Polar Fleece Pullover starts at $29, and they have all the different sizes available as well. You can get 25% off any order over $49. Enter the coupon code HRN for Horse Radio Network at checkout. And when you do that, it'll show the products that get the discount. Some aren't eligible due to manufacturer restrictions, or they're already on super sale. So if you just put that in after you have all your items in checkout, it'll tell you which ones you get the additional 25% off on. So go to statelinetack.com today. Coming up, we have Lily joining us, and she has done some great work for those of us that have had cancer or recovered from cancer in the horse world, and we're going to find out about that. Well, hey, Lily, thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Glenn, for having me.
So, Lily, you visited my farm, what was it, like 10 years ago?
Yeah, it was about 10 years ago. I was on a horse shopping trip, and I think we made a small detour to meet your horses.
That's right. You met Scooter. You have a picture with Scooter.
The infamous Scooter. Yeah, what a cool little guy.
He's still a cool little guy. He's still ornery as ever. So nothing's changed. He's retired now, but.
Oh, good, good. No, it was a really exciting trip, and I was really delighted to meet Scooter. And there's a big chestnut, too, that I remember. I think that was Jamie's horse.
Or that was Jennifer's horse. That's right. That was Nigel. That's correct.
Okay.
Nigel's still here, too. He's also retired. That's how long it's been since you visited, is they're both retired now. So what kind of riding do you do? I've seen you side saddle.
Yeah. So about a year ago, I started riding side saddle in the hunt field. So I do a little bit of fox hunting, a little bit of low-level eventing, and a whole lot of trail riding.
Well, you look really good riding side saddle. And the compliment you always get is on your outfits.
Thanks so much. Yeah, actually, I purchased a side saddle habit in pink that was custom made for me from a woman in Wales. And that was a big present to myself. And yeah, I do get a lot of compliments on it. And yeah, but it's just so fun and elegant. And who doesn't like to play dress up?
Now, the picture you sent me with, I'll post it in the show notes for today, of you in your fancy habit. Is that your horse?
That's my horse. She is a Percheron quarter horse cross, and her name is Zara.
Her coloring is different for a Percheron cross, isn't it?
Yeah, so she gets it from the quarter horse side. Her dad was a Cremello, and so it resulted in the color Grulla when crossed with a black Percheron, not to go to horse nerd genetics for this podcast.
No, it's a cool color, though.
Yeah, it's and it's great for hunting since she's sort of the color of dirt. So she doesn't require too much elbow grease in the morning. So when we're getting up and hunting at, you know, 6 a.m., it's kind of nice to have a horse that's pretty low maintenance for grooming.
Well, it's good you didn't get a white then. That's
yeah, exactly.
So, you, Jamie, we have these people, I'm sure you have them too, that you follow on Facebook. You maybe went, they're acquaintances, right? They're not your best friends, but you follow along, and you, for some reason, Facebook serves up every post they do for the last 10 years. That's Lily on my Facebook page. So I have followed Lily's, her whole trials and tribulations for the last 10 years, but it had resulted, and I've always admired you, Lily. There's certain people that you watch, how they conquer adversity and what they do with it, and you were one of those. Tell me about Gallop for Life.
Oh, thanks so much, Glenn. You know, I totally resonate with that sentiment. You know, we do have people that we sort of look up to, and it's a little strange to hear it about myself. But yeah, 2 years ago, just about exactly, I was diagnosed with breast cancer on my first mammogram. I went for a routine check at 40, and boom, I've joked that it was sort of beginner's luck with just having one mammogram, but this is common. You know, it impacts a lot of people. And so I was laid up after surgeries and then laid up during chemo treatment. And I was thinking to myself, I need to do something with my time, especially while I was out of the saddle. So
you had
serious
surgeries too. I mean, it wasn't minor.
Yeah, no, I did have, I had a double mastectomy, and then I did have some complications with my reconstruction, so they had to go back in a few times to address some infections, remove implants, put implants back in, so that, you know, it's hard physically and then also mentally, right? Just having these setbacks. And I had some friends say, well, I thought you were just going to breeze through this process. And I think that's what I learned, is that nobody breezes through cancer. You know, it doesn't matter.
Because once you hear the words, you have cancer, your mind is gone.
Yes, exactly. So, and Glenn, I know that you also have a cancer story as well. And so I think anybody who's been through this or knows a close family member or friend who has gone through it, you know, just, you know, all the challenges that come along with it. So
But then you did something amazing with it. And that's where Gallop for Life came in, right?
Yes, exactly. So I wanted to first, I established a support group for equestrians with breast cancer, which seems very niche, but today has 500 members in our support group of women all around the country and even internationally from the UK and Canada. And so it was a great space to connect with other people who were going through all these same things, wrestling with the same questions. A number of women decided not to have reconstruction because, quote, they just sort of get in the way of the sitting trot. And so it's just interesting to hear from people who were just like me, who had walked this path before. But then the next step was to you know, I wanted to do something more. So I started sending gift baskets to newly diagnosed women in the horse community. So to date, we've sent nearly, I think, 80 something gift baskets to women all over the country. And they're care packages that are sort of equestrian specific. And but I'm really pleased to announce that later this year in December, we will be launching our financial aid program to assist with equestrians who need financial assistance while they go through their treatment. Specifically, those who are self-employed in our community,
which a lot backbone.
Yeah, exactly. And they are the backbone of the horse community. So our farriers, our trainers, our jockeys, our equine dentists, all these people are self-employed and may be underinsured or have no insurance at all. So we are looking to help offset that financial burden. Thanks to all of the generous donors and contributors that we've had just in the last less than 2 years, really. So I'm really overwhelmed by the response from the horse community.
And Gallop for Life is a 501c3?
It is, yes. Okay. So all donations are tax deductible.
Well, and you did, you've done two Chase for the Cures now. What are those?
Yeah, actually, technically, we've done three. So we've had we had our first one last year through Howard County Iron Bridge Hunt Club. And that was a tremendous outpouring of support. We had 150 people attend. And that was a hunt that all the cap fees and donations went directly to the charity. And then this year, we had one hosted by Loudon Fairfax Hunt in Virginia to celebrate one of their members' 10 years of survivorship. And the proceeds went to benefit Gallop for Life. And then again, Howard County Iron Bridge generously hosted us this past weekend for another Chase for the Cure. And again, just the outpouring from the fox hunting community has been tremendous.
Well, this is amazing what you've put together in such a short period of time. You know, congratulations on that and for doing something good out of something really bad, right?
Thanks so much.
Are you good now? Health-wise?
I am. Yep. I am in remission. I have to take a daily estrogen suppressant. But so I'm in full blown menopause, which has any of the listeners who are going through that. Empathize. I know that it is its own beast. While it's not cancer, it is. It can have really life changing impact. So, hot flashes, night sweats, and so that can sometimes impact our riding. But otherwise, cancer free though. So, yes.
Well, good. Congratulations on that. I know it's always in your head, whether you're cancer-free or not, it's always there, and it will be for all of us, right? But I'm so happy that you're doing what you're doing for the community. So let me ask you two things. If somebody has gone through breast cancer or any cancer, this is not limited to breast cancer. So if there's a woman that's has gone through any kind of cancer or is currently going through it, either past or present, right?
Yes, correct.
Mm-hmm. How can they get involved with Gallop for Life?
Yeah, so we do have a website. It's gallopforlife.org. You can find us on social media through Facebook and Instagram. And you can send us an email at info@gallopforlife.org. And we're happy to connect you. Our support group is just for equestrians with breast cancer, but the charity itself is to men and women who are equestrians and battling any type of cancer. I do appreciate that breast cancer gets a lot of attention, especially in the month of October. We see lots of pink, but we don't want to leave out these other, you know, rare cancers or other cancers that that impact riders. So we are happy to support you.
Well, that's great. And I know people can donate too if they want to, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a Venmo, PayPal, old fashioned checks. And so we accept donations in any form. We're also always looking for in-kind donations, services, partnering with small business or large equestrian businesses for our gift baskets. So we'll take any sort of donation is very appreciated.
All right, very good. And I have something else I want to talk to you about. I'll call you.
I think we found our charity for Christmas.
Okay? I was just thinking that, actually. We always do a Christmas event, and we hadn't picked a charity for this year, but I think Jamie just chimed in. I think she just committed. We might be talking to you again, and I do want to call you later about something, too. So, look, if my phone number pops up again, it's not an accident. I'm going to chat
that
with
sounds
you.
Great. Ominous. That sounds scary.
We
would be honored, Jamie. Thank you so much.
Well, maybe we'll get somebody on that has been involved in your organization too during that holiday week to chat about this. That would be great.
Great.
So think about who that could be, Lily. I appreciate that. And congratulations on doing good for the world and for the world of horses and those of us that have heard the term "you have cancer." It sucks. It's never good. And, all of us have different journeys with it, but it's always in our brain, whether we're in remission or not. It's something that sticks with you for life. So thank you, Lily. I appreciate you joining us today. And what's the website again?
It's gallopforlife.org. And I'm so appreciative that our paths cross, Glenn. And I'm wishing you well on your health journey. And I'm so glad to hear that you're doing well as too.
Daily Dose Equine offers a full line of handcrafted horse feeds to maximize the health and performance of horses and ponies of all ages. Each custom feed has been developed with whole grains and non-GMO ingredients to eliminate the risk of herbicide contamination. We are horse people ourselves and have seen firsthand the difference that superior nutrition can render in our equine partners. At Daily Dose Equine, we never forget that natural is better and simplicity is key. Learn more at Daily Dose equine.com.
And don't forget, you can buy your Daily Dose products at Tractor Supply and Chewy. You can get them at both places, so look for them there. Well, coming up next, we have Tori Malott. I have her on because this time of year, we like to highlight products that are great stocking stuffers for the horse person in your life. And if you're anything like my wife, you like to do word search games. And I know a lot of people that do. What's the online game where you guess the five letters?
I don't play Wordle every single day for the last 9 years. What are you talking about?
And then we have the Wordle people. So... So, Tori, thanks for joining us. Where are you located?
I'm over here in San Diego, California.
Very good. And you put out a book. Tell us about two of them, right? Now?
Yeah. So my first book actually was my horse management record book. This book was kind of inspired by me growing up in Pony Club, and they have, a great record keeping system. And so as I got older, I was like, you know what, let's bring that back, but make it a little bit different. So I kind of combined journaling and record keeping for that. And then I brought out my Gallop and Guess word search just because, out there wasn't a whole lot of horse word searches that I could find. I'd go to tack stores. It wasn't really a thing. So everybody can get a little bit out of doing some brain games, right? So it was something that I was like, let's try this. And I did it. And now I'm kind of hooked. I love making word searches.
And there's the Gallop and Guess book, which is what it's called, has 100 mm-hmm. themed puzzles in it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And they're all equestrian based. And it's kind of like the whole equestrian world. So I didn't do it very compartmentalized. I did it everyone is kind of in there.
Because breeds and tack and riding gear and things like that, disciplines.
Yes.
So you have two of the Gallop and Guess books out now or just one?
I have two out now. My second one, it's kind of a cozy one, I like to call it. It's an autumn edition where, those people that who love fall, we're like to be under the covers and do something fun, but have it horse related too. So it's a fall kind of one. It's called Gallop and Guess Autumn Edition.
Okay. So both of these would be great for stocking stuffers. I know a couple people in my life that I'm going to be getting them for. And how much do they run, and where can they buy them?
So they are $14.99 for my 100 puzzle and $12.99 for my 50 puzzle, which is the autumn one. And I have a website, which is Stable Notes with an E and stable.com. And then they're also on Amazon.
All right, very good. And I'll put a link to both of those places in the show notes as well. Now, before you go, and I hope everybody does buy them. They look like a lot of fun. They really do. And I don't know of any others like it in the horse world. So I think you're the first on this one. Then when I called you, a certain thing popped up, and it's Malotte chicken coops is what came up on your phone number on my phone. So what do you build chicken coops?
Yeah. So, if you read my about section, you can kind of learn a little bit about me. But my husband and I, we live and help on my family's working cow-calf cattle operation here in San Diego. Yes, there are cows here.
I was going to say, there's cows there.
And so we knew that the ranch couldn't sustain our family because my parents are still here. But we wanted to be able to stay home to help them and then also be here and be more present for our kids. We do like part homeschool. So we are just kind of brainstorming ideas. His brother built chicken coops in Northern California. So we're like, you know what, let's try this out and see, you know, if there's a market here in Southern California. And that was back in 2018. And since 2020, we've been doing it full time. And it's been such an awesome ride. It's been a little hard working with your husband and learning the ups and downs of that 24/7.
I've worked with my wife for 40 years. I can appreciate that.
See, that doesn't sound familiar at all, does it,
no,
Glenn?
No, not at all.
I need to put her in touch with Jen.
You know. Yeah, you know.
You work it out. You figure it out eventually.
You do. There's a learning curve, but you definitely do. And you know what? I think it made our marriage stronger for sure because the communication is key.
You know what, Jamie, that's a good segment idea. We need to do a whole segment on working with your spouse and I need to do a round table on that topic with several people who did. So do you do the fancy kind of chicken coops too? Cause I've seen all kinds of really cool ones around here.
Yeah. I think they're kind of fancy. So we do they're almost like sheds, right? They're big. So they're walk-in and we've gotten pretty crazy requests. Like really big requests. Ben came out with this really awesome design. It's our Western design. So it looks like a saloon.
That's
been really, really popular. Yeah. It's really cool.
That's cool. What's the website for that? We'll give a plug for that too.
Sure. It's Malotte, which is MELLOTT, chicken coops with an S.com.
Do you have a coop, Jamie? Or are they going to the barn?
I have what one would call an aviary at this point. Yeah, there was an old shed and we just kept building onto it. And so Chad's like, I wish we could just get rid of this and I could park a car under it. I'm like, don't you dare.
Don't get rid of the chickens.
You know, you're a farm when the chickens take precedent over the husband.
Well, the ducks have to have a place too, Glenn. They can't be expected to live in our pond like ducks would. Gross.
So, Tori, before I let you go, I know that you have a family member that listens, and I want to give that person a shout out. Who is it?
Karen Garbani.
And she's a listener. She's your mom?
Yes, she is.
Hi, Mom. We're glad you listen.
Hi, Mom. Love you.
If you're in that part of California or a surrounding state, you can go to Malotte Chicken Coops with an S.com and check them out there. Thank you. That's not a stocking stuffer, by the way. That's your real gift for the Christmas.
That one won't fit. Yeah, that one won't fit under the tree.
Tori, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
U.S. Rider diesel savings powered by Open Roads can save you up to 50 cents per gallon at major gas stations nationwide. High mileage drivers? That could be more than $700 a year back in your pocket. Sign up free at myopenroads.com/USRider and get free priority processing as a gift from US Rider.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
That's right. Weird things keep happening all over the world. Yes, the world today. I don't even think we're going to Florida. Maybe. I don't know. But I wanted to thank the people that send in weird news, because if you're ever looking through the news wherever you see stuff and you think, oh my God, that's super weird, email it to me, weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. Just like Christy, Jenny, Meta, Shelley, Laureen, Carol, Jolynn, Carrie, Debbie, Alicia, Alyssa, and Michelle all did. Thank you guys very much. That's 1 week. That's pretty impressive. Thank you guys all very much. All right. Well, we're going to start today in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Okay. Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
Love Gatlinburg.
God love Ring doorbell cameras. They're just the best. So there was a guy in Gatlinburg who was like doing some work. It's very woodsy there. It's like just it's the forest, you know.
It's Appalachian Mountains.
It's Appalachian Mountains. And so he's doing some work on his property, clearing some trees, and he gets done for the night. I mean, he's in the middle of nowhere, so he just left his equipment out front of his house. And he came out the next morning, and his chainsaw had been stolen. Well, thank God he had Ring doorbell. This guy didn't just have one Ring doorbell. He had like cameras everywhere. I feel like I'm missing the boat on the whole cameras around your house thing, because like everybody's got cameras all over everything, and it makes for weird news stories. Because who stole his chainsaw, Glenn?
I'm going to guess, being in the Appalachian Mountains, in that particular part of the Appalachian Mountains, a bear.
Ding, ding, ding. That's right.
I don't know what the bear was doing with the chainsaw.
It shows two bears that are like positioning and kind of like challenging each other. And then one bear runs off. And then moments later, you see the other bear with the chainsaw in his mouth following the other bear. And I'm like, was he going to murder the other bear with the chainsaw? Texas Gatlinburg Chainsaw Massacre. So yeah.
Well, if he can start the damn thing, he's better than me. I can never get mine started. So
good point. Well, the cool thing is the update about 5 days later was found my chainsaw. Yay. But bad news, it's in front of a bear den, which was like,
oh my gosh,
100 yards from their house. And it's like this rock formation. And you could say, like, the chainsaw, he left the chainsaw on his front porch too.
So what the bear wanted the chainsaw for?
Yeah. Yeah, he did not take the chance. He said, found my chainsaw, but Houston, we have a problem. I found his den as well.
Wait till winter.
Yeah, he'll go to bed eventually. Yeah. You'll get it back. Another weird animal story, and this is a story about a wild animal in Ireland. Glenn, police in Ireland were looking for an animal. What animal do you think would cause such a stir in Ireland that was roaming around that they called police and there was like a huge search for this animal after multiple people reported it?
It's usually a kangaroo where it's not supposed to be.
It is tougher than a kangaroo because there's video of a African lion
wandering. Yeah, that's not something you want in your neighborhood.
No. So the forest manager and the police and all of these, they're all on the lookout for this lion. And it's like the animal had seen by harvest workers. They had been seen by truck drivers. It had been seen by, and so finally the forest manager got a video of it as it was walking through the woods. They were like, it's a deer. No, it's a lion. Well, they decided to set up a trap and catch the lion. And catch it they did. But it wasn't a lion. It was a Newfoundland with a haircut.
Did they have it look like a lion? What did it look like a lion?
Yes, it was a Newfoundland dog, but had like a lion haircut. And
you
can
do that with a Newfoundland.
Officials are writing that he's, quote, very friendly. His name is Mouse. And he's delighted that he's gone viral.
Then he is. Okay, that's funny.
Now you have one. You go.
I'm also doing an animal story. This one out of Texas, but could be elsewhere as well. All right. So there have been, officials have issued a public warning for the sightings of an invasive and toxic worm. It's called the hammerhead worm. You know what a hammerhead shark looks like? A flat head?
Yeah.
This worm look has that head. So they can get up to a foot long in length. And they're considered a severe threat to the local ecosystems because they prey on beneficial earthworms, which are, you know, good for your soil.
Oh, my God. Don't Google that.
Oh, it's gross, isn't it? It's gross. Oh. And it's slimy. It doesn't look like a regular worm. This is slimier looking.
Does this, like, live underground or, like, in the ocean?
No,
this looks like an ocean thing.
They're seeing it in North Texas now.
Oh, dear God.
So now head in your direction because you're not too far from North Texas. So now this is the thing about, it's not just a regular worm. They caution you not to kill, squish, or cut up the worms as they produce asexually. Meaning, fragmentation will simply create multiple new worms.
No way.
Yes. This is not
made
up.
What are you supposed to do with it? Burn it down?
I'll tell you what to do with it. Also, that's not all. The hammerhead worm body secretes a toxin used to subdue prey, which can cause a rash at human contact. So if you cut the thing up or squish it and it gets on you, you're going to get a rash.
Oh, don't get on me.
They are advising residents to handle the worms only with gloves and to dispose of them properly. This is what they recommend to dispose of them. The recommended methods include trapping them in a sealed bag and freezing them for 48 hours. Mm-mm. I'm not putting them in my freezer. I'm sorry. No. Or dissolving them in a mixture of salt and vinegar. Kind of like you do a slug. You know, that's how you get rid of slugs too. Which prevents the invasive species from reproducing. So that's how you prevent it from reproducing. So, this one's not in Florida, it's heading your direction. So,
it's in North Texas now. Chad's in here. I'm like, we have to. So, they say to freeze them or put salt and vinegar on them, make them a potato chip.
They're gross looking, too. And can you imagine
how big
a foot
are they?
Long?
A foot long?
Ugh, oh, Jesus. I'd die.
The earth is goodbye, world. I'm done. It's enough.
All right. There's a gross story for you.
How do they travel? They zip into the ground like in Tremors?
That's what I thought of, too.
I just watched that with Lucas.
Coming up out of the sand.
Yeah. They hear noise.
With their great big mouth.
They come out of the ground and eat you. Oh. Well, my story is not very entertaining anymore. But to be fair, everybody sent me this story.
We need one to come down from that.
Yeah, that's true. Well, here. You know, you never feel safer than when you're at work and your doors are locked and everything's fine. We're going to go to Illinois. Geneseo, Illinois. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong and I do apologize. But her name is Caitlin Gotch of Davenport. And she, well, there's people that are in their place of business. And it's like a downtown kind of area, like a smaller town area where there's like shops next to each other down like Main Street, kind of think of that. Well, there was a woman in the business and she heard some noises and she's like, that's weird. She heard it in the attic and then in the walls, she heard some noises. And so she decided she needed to call the police and the police came out and they're like, we don't hear anything. We don't see anything. There's nothing on the roof. And so they left. Well, then the workers on the other side in the next shop over started hearing noises and they all got together and they're like, we got to call the cops. Like there's something in our wall. And so they call the police. The police come and there were people living in the walls.
How do they live in the walls?
Three people were living
thick walls.
In the interior walls of the businesses. And so basically police come and they're like, hey, who's in there? What? We can't hear you. There was a chick with two other dudes living in between the walls of the businesses. And they said police finally were able to communicate with her because people were hearing whispers and movement coming from inside the walls. The call is coming from inside the house. Oh, my God. So they end up having to break her out of there and they arrest her. They can't find the other two people. They shut down and first responders closed down all the roads in the area to like really figure out like what was going on.
How'd they
and
get
turns
in
out
the wall
I don't know. They did not tell me that, Glenn, in the story. But what they did say was she was arrested and charged with burglary, felony, criminal damage to property, and criminal trespassing. They have not found the other people that were involved, but apparently multiple businesses in that location have potential access. Oh, here you go. Potential access points on their shared roofs and damage all over the roof and like in the walls and everything like that. Cause they were like bringing food in there and they were just like kind of like they were living in the walls. And the best part, I want you to Google.
I know they weren't claustrophobic.
Right now, I want you to Google this mugshot woman in wall.
Okay.
It's got to pull it up.
Okay.
Because there's just no better mugshot than this. This might be the best one in the history of the world.
Okay.
All of you at home.
Oh, here it is. I got it. Let me open it up. Oh. There was not a shower in the wall.
There was no shower in the wall. So basically, she'd been wandering around walls with like all the dirt and dust and spider webs and all this stuff. And she gets arrested and she's got like a high ponytail and she did have a lot of like makeup on, but she's completely covered in soot. Like just completely her
just
face.
Sad.
I know. Well,
they're not old. They're young too.
The good news is she's out of the walls. Bad news is she's in jail.
Well,
bad for her.
She gets three squares and probably more space.
A little more space. She's like, wow, this jail cell is so
roomy. Oh, my God.
That's bright spot for you. Good job.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We appreciate it. Auditors, hang on. We're going to chat a little bit about Jamie's vet visits over the last couple of days. And also tomorrow we have the Rainers joining us here on the show. And then Friday we're going to do some really bad ads. Get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. We'll talk to you then. Be safe, everybody. Oh, I have a quote to end the day. I saw this quote popped up in my Facebook feed. It's by an unknown person, but I thought it was appropriate for us. I like to keep my money where I can see it, running around the pasture or hanging up in the tack room.
Amen, brother. Spay, neuter, gelds.